the Chaoticist Manifesto. Wave, wind, wing, plunges, views, play and display, idea, energies, blue, yellow, white, the light changes, no knowledge, Mr. Only the being there, outside what you were, a space full of events, originary practice, what? Words without language, fragmentary syntax, and yet coherence, chaos poem, this that is coming, a reichness, ha, watch, listen, white wing, red roof, the writing, the thing seen here, the thing thought, raised into what is not metaphysics, but claritas, le bel aujourd'hui. They're all here, the thinkers, those of the Anfang, writhing in the rack, wheeling in the light, blowing in the wind, the gathering, colloque de la côte, towards the plural poem, chorus, coruscations. Where's the Chinaman? Up there on the hill, running helter-skelter down to the sea, feng shui. This is today, raised out of history. The pencil has been sharpened, the eye has been cleaned, the hand confirmed. No remains, economy of presence, here, now, this. Worked out space, no scheming, anarchic and yet archaic, archaic anarchy, the most beautiful paradox. Pelagius steps out of a holly bush, bright. Erigena walks quiet along the shore, sunt lumina. The mind is inspired, the landscape enlightened, the mindscape exists, no reason, no anguish. Who, what, without why, and the questioning fresh as the cry of the gull in the headland. Kia, 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 kia. Here at the sea's edge, laughing, laughing, a new laugh, quotations, quotations, at home in this topography beyond the nations. Whiteness is what it means, but a whiteness written like birch bark, like wave crest with lines and with sound, original, no ideal, no model, eventual. Nothing is absent, but this body mind says it all the ways lead to here, have led to here. The sky has broken, and the earth, sea washed, is all diamond. The winter ceremony. It's still dark, with big flakes drifting by the window, and the roofs of the outhouses are all humpbacked when I switch on the radio. Brea semaphore calling. This is a national weather forecast for the coastal zone between Cape Frayel and Lanyon Bay, today 8th January. Very low temperature, under thick cloud. Wind from 10 to 15 knots, calm sea, visibility often less than 1 mile with frequent snow. The whole department of the Côte du Nord is absolutely snowbound. It's been snowing in Ushant for the first time in a century. Here at Gwynfyd, above Lanyon Bay, beside the old sanctuary, there's nothing. No noise. Only the grey sky, the blue forest, and the long murmur of the sea. Birds cross the sky now and then. Gulls and sterns and sea pies, white, white and black and white. With an occasional thrush or sparrow brownly fluttering round the threshold. But mostly there's nothing, just the snow falling and the hum of the heating plant here in the study and a white light, the subdued white light filtering through the snow-covered window. The myth people were living in Crooked Beach. The house of the wolves stood at the north end of the village. Their chief was called Travelling Wolf. It's been snowing for 2 weeks now, off and on, but over 2 weeks. When the snow's falling, the horizon's grey. When it isn't falling, the horizon's blue. My eyes have got used to this grey, white, blue, to the wind and the silence, to the isolation. It's going to be none too easy to pick up again with society. I've been reading about the Kwakutl winter ceremony, Franz Boas's account. All the dancing and the storytelling. But I prefer by far this quieter thing outside any community. His name was Lone Wolf. He went round the world, feeling out the lines of the earth. Then he holed up in the snow, remembering and listening to the snow. Snow over Europe. That's the title of some 30s poem. When a red star shone over China and left book club editions stood on the shelves of my father's bookcase, a little last snowy piece before the big show. Somehow I hear nostalgic for all that noise, for the beliefs and the counter-beliefs, the stances and the stanzas about glory and humanity and the future, along with several other themes which hopefully by this time have been lifted by the scavengers. Let's get into the snow out there. Maybe to start off with, singing a little shaman song, something like this. There's a bear's head and a crow's wing at my door. I walk between blue forest and white shore. Nobody knows what I'm doing here, what I'm looking for. Are you with me? They went down to Seal Coast, the wolf people and the bear people and the crows. They went down to Seal Coast. Somebody started beating a drum. The old heron of the Eel Mew is wrapped in a blue dream. There's a little band of oyster catchers freezing on the beach of Portsmouth Bow. I walk along the shoreline in the snow.
Late August on the coast. Ah, the breathtaking beauty of this late August. Now the summer people are gone and the beach is silent again. Great mists rising up over the sea and moving inland along the little valleys. All morning it's a misty world, a quiet Niflheim. But by early afternoon the mist bank breaks, now here, now there, revealing blue, gleaming stretches of water, a piney wood, a red fair moor, a stony village. Rain, tea, and a butterfly. 8 o'clock. Grey sky and a quiet rain. I want to enjoy and maybe ingeniously employ long hours of this. So I've unplugged the telephone. Ah, this delicious sensation of total isolation. I just hope no one will turn up spontaneously to ask me if I believe in God and invite me to come and turn tables or tell me about their family squabbles. I look around at a few things I have on the wall. A 19th century print of a blue rorqual, 1/72 natural size, stranded on a misty, rocky shore. A leaf from a zoological album showing a grey-backed seal, Pelage moine, squelette de la tête, vue de profil, and a page out of Grönlandske Fanger Forteller, showing 8 fishes of Greenland, from the polar cod Gadus calarius to the sleeping shark Somniosus microcephalus. We whose homeland is the world, as the sea is to fish, says Dante. But what's the world? The eye moves on to a Japanese print, Kambara, snow at night, and to another, sunset on a snowy day at Ushikawa. I go make some tea. The red earthenware pot is now there at my elbow. I lie out there on the bed with a Tunisian blanket, Avicenna, Avicenna. Drink the tea while it's hot and watch the rain, the quiet falling rain through the philosophical window. There's a butterfly there, some kind of admiral. I'm more than a little vague about admirals. Maybe it's old Chang Tzu, come out of the teapot, why not after all, to talk with me about the Tao. Okay, butterfly, what's the Tao? Like, at least grammatically, what's the time? Flutter, flutter, red, flutter, flutter. I feel my pulse. The answer to an existential question could never be mathematical. There's Reich and Heidegger walking by. Rain and tea and a butterfly. Do I have here the makings of a fiction supreme? Will this rainy day at August's end give me a new look into reality or a wonderful waking dream? I go downstairs. Read a page or two of Melville, a page or two of Thoreau, a page or two of the Oregon Trail. I intend someday to write a series of lectures on American space and the question of the real that'll make David Herbert Lawrence and the rest sound like Paris Match or the Reader's Digest. The butterfly is still fluttering at the window. I pour tea in the cup again and lie listening to the quiet rain. Epistle to the birds of this coast. You gulls who know this coast, from the Abbe Vrac to the Seven Islands, you of the red-tipped peaks, you terns and kittiwakes, you oyster catchers, you band of ghostly herons still holding out on the Eel Mew, a scene in the evening over the pine wood, grey-blue and the blue. This is just to say I'm glad and grateful that you're there, because if you weren't, if you were all gone, that would mean the others had won, the advancing ones, the constructive ones, with their crazy beliefs and their lousy ideologies, their oil slicks and their nuclear garbage, their noises and their nuisances. They don't know how to walk the coast. They have to have all kinds of games and animations. They don't even know what they've lost. So please keep on using the sky as you know how, riding the wind with your eyes wide open, tracing out the shoreline along with something else that's harder to define. And throw out a choir tune now and then for those of us down here who care. That'll be a kind of reminder to accompany the signs we read silent to the stone, way beyond a heart's house, right into the bone. The nameless archipelago. Out there, nameless. Sometimes in certain lights I think I have it. That last glance over the coast rocks in the gathering evening, or in the white mist of early morning. But there's no exactitude. I'm not content, after all, to be a mystic. At other times I get exactness, but I feel it as fragment, like picking up a stone with no sense of geology. I can sometimes even feel part of it myself when I'm swimming in the sea, marine yoga, kind of. But that's not knowing it, and there's no expression. I'm not even sure anymore what knowing means. And as to expression, I don't just mean poetry. I suppose what I'm after is closer to a kind of cartography. In the map room here, looking at the world of Dionysius Periegetes, Celtae, Scitae, Mare Cronium, the periplum of Pateus up to Thule, a nautical atlas, Portuguese, early 16th century, of the northeast Atlantic, Oceanus Britannicus, Mare Hyperboreum, Al Sharkey's map of the Mediterranean, a Korean map of China and Japan, and a Blue River itinerary. Sometimes, maybe to make things easier, I imagine this nameless place as a bird sanctuary, people with creatures whose brains are less complex than mine, so that for them, everything clicks all the time. It's true that merely to hear the cry of some gull on the shore is enough to awaken Wakan, the old metaphysical desire. To say it's a sanctuary is to say it's admirable but uninhabitable. How to inhabit, intimately, a place with no name. One would have oneself to have no name, but if there are no names, what can one say? The music of the landscape. Listening in, late August morning, to the music of the landscape. Sea wind blowing veil after veil of grey up the valley of Guaslagorn. Flights of wailing birds over the fields. Young birches with scarcely frosted trunks. Rain whispering. Hoarse, ragged fir trees on the skyline. Along the shore, all the islands wrapped in mist, but the surf outlines them with silent thunder. A restlessness, a movingness, a chaos noisiness. Unruled masses of sound interrupted by sharp cries or a wave breaking on ice-scored rock. No place this for sympathies or symphonies, any kind of easy harmonization. The weather is ever-changing, from Durven Point to Plumanach's centered complex, the topography abrupt. Yet there is something like a music there, and the grey rain, the sharp cries, and the wind that travels the changing skies. There is something immensely satisfying to the mind, corresponding to its highest demand, admitting no simple equations, and laughing at any solemn questions.